This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Damon Day, and we will be catching up with Hastings High School basketball coach Lance Creech a little bit later on in the show, talking about what happened last night in the national championship game, of course, and even sliding through the Denver Broncos deal. I mean, there are a ton of Denver Broncos fans in our area, and I am somewhat shocked. I guess there's got to be more to come in Denver, but John Fox hadn't been there long enough to get stale, had he? I don't know. Is Peyton Manning calling the shots? Is Peyton Manning leaving? Bronco fans, love to hear your reaction. You can send us an email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And of course, you can give us a buzz on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Good morning, Damon.
Good morning, Mr. Duda. How are you?
Good.
Late night?
I watched the whole game. So I guess what time to get over? 11:30?
Yep.
11:15?
Yep.
Stayed up, watched a little bit of the post game. Then, of course, the Bad News Bears was on the MLB network.
Good.
So I taped that.
Tape or DVR?
Well, whatever you want to call it, DVR.
I don't want people thinking you're out there like that creepy Rob Lowe, you know, hitting the VHS record button type of thing. That's what it kind of sounds like when you say tape. So,
you gross.
Yeah. So no, I watched the whole thing. I'm a big celebration guy because I always look at it from the coaching standpoint. I think when you see young people who finally have accomplished their goal. I just think that's a really special thing to kind of watch and see and see everyone's reaction and all those types of things. And I always remember the story of Nick Saban when he won his first national championship at Alabama. And this kind of puts a perspective for people that immediately following that celebration for Saban and his staff, did you know that he sent five of his top assistants to secluded areas within the stadium, and they didn't even get to celebrate. They were on the phone with recruits for the next 4 hours. And that's college football.
It's 2 a.m. I'm getting a call from an assistant. What?
Yeah. And if you read the whole backstory, and they actually, someone kind of picked up on it when they had asked, you know, where are these guys at? And he's like, you know, we're already starting to go to work on the next year's championship. It's not coach speak. I mean, that's a big deal to those top recruits that they got a phone call on championship night from their position coach or whatnot. And I just find that was one of the most fascinating stories about all of college football, that here you are at the pinnacle of it. You've done everything you've worked all year for. 30 seconds later, you're on to the next season already trying to get that next
batch. Did that include Tim Beck?
This year? Oh, without a doubt for Ohio State. I guarantee Tim Beck was on the phone last night since he didn't have anything to do, since he was on the staff and he's probably passed his NCAA recruiting test. I guarantee you Tim Beck was on the phone with offensive recruits talking about probably not quarterbacks. Probably wasn't calling many quarterbacks. I don't know how you're going to get a quarterback in that situation. But I guarantee you that, and that's the one thing that I always look at when you ask about watching those games all the way through. I love seeing that dynamic of what happens next because it's crazy how they just keep chasing their tail a little bit. You know, it's we got to go get a national title. Got it. All right. Moving along to the next days of business. And I guarantee you they're on the phones today working recruits. And some of them may have flown straight out from Dallas to the next big one, you know, wherever. I don't know if they're allowed to be on the road right now. But it's just amazing to me how big of a can you catch your own tail type of thing it has become in college football.
Said yesterday when we were making our predictions, and Jimmy somehow hasn't showed up with my over-under punt wager. It must be Friday. We'll talk Friday. But it didn't get up there high scoring in this football game. it is high scoring for overall when you look back at years and years of national championship games. But this was unbelievable that Oregon couldn't do more in this football game. And I'll tell you, when we were sitting there watching the game last night and they marched it right down the field and scored that touchdown, I said, good, better keep doing it. You could already see what was happening in the first quarter. They were going too fast, too amped up. How do you make a call that quickly and relay it onto the field? That is my next question for Scott Frost and Mark Helfrich. How can you get a call to your quarterback in 5 seconds? You can't. So you're lining up 2-3 plays at a time, and all of a sudden you're in a down and distance where you don't want to be, although you can convert every one of them. You're just so used to converting all the time that when it's time to make a play, it's hard to settle down and do that. There was no doubt Ohio State was going to be the more physical football team. And I commented, as long as Ohio State is within 14, you know, late in the third, this is still anybody's ball game. Well, they did a way better job than that. And without being anti-Marcus Mariota, because I'm not, great football player, but I still think overhyped. And he had a good football game last night. But when your average is 300 yards, There's a reason for that. You had 20 points. You were plus four in the turn. Well, if you don't count the last play of the game, you were plus four in the turnover department, and you scored 20 points.
I think that the craziest thing that I watched in that game was after that first drive. You were like, uh oh, Ohio State better do something. They better answer. And it seemed like as the drive went on and Ohio State adjusted to the speed. I didn't think that Oregon did something so great at the beginning. I just think that they actually were going faster than what Ohio State had prepared. But that's where Ohio State had that next gear, where a lot of teams don't have that next gear. Ohio State picked up their speed. They picked up their pace. I think they showed a blueprint, if you have the athletes, of how to beat Oregon. And now we've seen it a few times in the national championship game of how you do beat Oregon with more, obviously, physical type of football and those types of things. But I completely agree with you that I thought that Marcus Mariota is no different at all than Johnny Manziel. And you can say great character, you can say all those types of things. He is no different than Johnny Manziel. I'm not a professional quarterback evaluator. If I'm sitting there, I think Mike and Mike said it best. If yesterday was the first time you watched a football game for the entire season, you would have said the quarterback for the red team is the pro prospect. And I truly believe he's probably not going to get drafted in the first round. He may, you never know. Someone may take a flyer if he goes professional. I don't know why he hasn't woke up this morning and declared for the draft. I mean, that's, to me, one of the best business decisions.
Not going to be any hotter than he is right now.
Exactly.
Jones.
And he's not going to start next year, because you know why he's not going to start next year? There's a reason why he didn't start until they had to. Now, he's obviously caught light in the bottle, and he's got confidence. But we've all seen players that have gone on streaks. Remember Linsanity, next coming to Michael Jordan? Well, he cooled off and got out of the zone, and now look where he's at. But I think if Cardale Jones...
But he got his money.
He did, exactly. And Cardale Jones needs to go get his money, because there's no... I think what's even crazier, though, is now Ohio State next year is going to have JT Barrett. I think Braxton Miller is going to leave. Cardale Jones leaves. Now I guess Tim Beck is going to have to get on the phone with some quarterbacks. But I thought that Mariota against more NFL caliber players, which Ohio State has, looked very much more like a Johnny Manziel than a Tom Brady.
So because Ohio State won, we now think that Ohio State had more talent?
What's the NFL talent? I'm talking about up the middle. I'm talking about that I felt like that Ohio State has more NFL ready. When you look at Bosa and Sullivan and Moore and those guys are more NFL ready than what they had seen.
A lot of this after the fact stuff, because everybody said Oregon had talent or Ohio State had Urban Meyer. I don't want to say he outcoached him because of what you're saying. I think Urban maybe had overall more talent. Definitely there's three
younger
or four
talent.
Incredible skill players for Oregon. They didn't bring up a whole lot about the wide receiver that didn't play last night either. I don't think that made that big of a difference that was suspended for Oregon. But It is surprising. I mean, Ohio State won the game 35-20. The last one doesn't count. They won this ball game 35-20, but to give it up as many times as they did, and for their defense to slow down Oregon, and for Oregon to not know how to score in the red zone, which is a, and especially from the 10-yard line in, which is a problem with spread offenses. You can't line up under center and go get a yard or two strong when you need to. You really back yourself into a corner. It's, yeah, you can go win a lot of games, but when it's all said and done, eventually your fans become antsy and they just want to win the big one once.
Right, and I thought
sound
that
familiar?
Yeah. I thought Oregon was beat was when they kicked the field goal and didn't go for it. They'd gone for
it. They should have kicked it the first time.
Right, right. But, you know, everyone's talking about, oh,
then
no.
When they kick it the next time, it's a one-possession game.
Right, but when they kick it the next time, I think that signaled to Helfrich that, no, now I got to play it. I'm not going to play Oregon football anymore. I'm going to play to win this game, which is normal. But remember, the mantra, and you heard Herb Street, and you heard Fowler talking about how Oregon's got this bravado, and all. I'm saying that from that standpoint, it signals to your players, over here's the panic button. Let's start reaching for it, because now we're not who we are, because we haven't done that all year. We would have, any other game, we would have gone for it. But now he changed, and so that's what I'm saying from the standpoint of the game is very, very different because it is the national championship game. But that's the problem with Oregon and why they don't. You can't be one way all of a sudden and then build your team for a certain thing and then all of a sudden start to go against all those things that you say all week long is we're going to go for it, we're on fourth, we're going to do this, we're going to run it at them. And now you don't do it. Now you change. Now you're becoming what is considered normal. And so I think that, you know, I'm not an Oregon fan. I'm not a Chip Kelly fan. I'm not a Helfrich fan. I don't know Mr. Frost personally. I didn't grow up watching him play high school athletics. I think Oregon has a great gimmicky offense that against certain types of opponents can do very, very well, but they have yet to show that they can beat and like you said, win the big one.
I don't think it's gimmicky except when they line up for the conversion because they're just moving fast. I don't think it's gimmicky. It's different, but I don't think it's gimmicky.
And then that's maybe a poor choice of words as far as gimmicky. It's very much a
I mean, the run and shoot was different.
Right.
First time you saw read option, spread, Florida, you know, it was different. People learned how to defend it, and you had to find a better way. You know, one thing that always works? Running the ball.
Yep. And then I think the best point is, what's the difference between Jeremiah Masoli and Marcus Mariota? Nothing. Their stats are extraordinarily similar.
One's from Hawaii?
Yeah. But everyone's talking about how Mariota is the second coming of a quarterback. Jeremiah Masoli, who ended up getting thrown out of Oregon and had to go to Ole Miss, very similar stats. Almost identical stats across the board in certain, you know, categories that matter to certain types of people. It's a system-based thing. And I think that's where Mariota's draft stock's going to fall. But then again, I think the hype machine of quarterbacks, 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 quarterbacks is going to continue to keep him and Winston in the debate all along.
I agree.
And we all remember the draft of Bush, Mario Williams, and Vince Young. Now look at all three of them. It does just, you know, so it's a very interesting debate going into the draft.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. We've got a lot of folks chiming in on last night's championship game. This comes from Ryan. He says, how Ohio State won the last three games was impressive. However, it's not a mystery of why they have success. It's time to compare them to the rest of the Big Ten. Since now they'll say the Big Ten is on the rise and the SEC is trending down, let's compare them to Nebraska. Ohio State has more resources, a heavily populated state to recruit and select from, able to hire the best coaches, scout team players. Now, Ryan, anybody can hire the best coaches with a big enough paycheck, okay? Scout team players are better than some of our starters. Everything is at your fingertips. Ohio State is not an SEC team, but they are just another Alabama who won the national title. Big shocker. I don't think that's all accurate. They've got pretty good depth. If you're already starting to you're bashing Nebraska because Ohio State won the national championship, there's all angles. This comes from John. It was great to see Ohio State win for the Big Ten's sake. It kind of reminded me of the 1996 national championship game when Nebraska pounded Florida with the running game and a great offensive line and the fun-and-gun offense of the old ball coach Spurrier. It truly shows that a great team begins with a line up front. What was even better was that the SEC wasn't in the conversation. Now, that is great news that no SEC team won the title. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Brent says, I think if Cordell Jones goes pro and is drafted late to a decent team, he'll be successful. Rodgers sat behind Favre for a few years, and I believe that helped. Very few quarterbacks can come out and play right away. The Mannings, Luck, Breeze, Elway, Marino, they did it, but the list is short. The kid has the attributes to fit. Take the money and buy your child a new onesie. Penny for your thoughts. That comes from Brent. Cordell Jones cannot go pro. Even though he can't.
I hope he does.
No.
I hope the Browns sign him.
He won't be successful. See the ticker last night?
He's better than anybody the Browns
did
got.
Did you see the ticker last night?
No.
Bill Callahan interviewing for the Browns job.
Offensive coordinator?
Browns job.
The Browns fired?
Yeah.
Mike Pettine?
Yeah, get rid of him.
No. No chance.
Bill Callahan interviewing, though, there.
For the
Browns.
With Shanahan? Shanahan out?
Yeah. He'd be gone.
Well, hey, I don't hate Bill Callahan as much as the rest of the state because I don't really know him.
You could fire off your, emails to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, you can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. Man, even when I write notes and then I don't know what I wrote, that messes me up here. TCU. That's what that says. TCU sign snuck in there that said winner gets TCU. And this will, I want to save this for the next segment here because we're going to take a break. But also Lance Creech going to join us later in the program talk a little Hastings High basketball. But did the college football playoff system get it right? Does TCU have a gripe? We'll look at the final top 25 because TCU's placed third. I told you Michigan State wouldn't be placed third. TCU's rated ahead of Alabama. Does TCU deserve a first place? They didn't get a first place vote in the AP poll. Of course, that's the way this thing works now. That was supposed to be the way it worked under the old BCS, is that everybody had to vote the champion number one. Do you think it worked? Because let's be honest. People were debating whether Ohio State should have even been in this. Now, they proved that they were good, but what will this do in the future? This is a team that came from off the radar. Half their games this season were not impressive, yet they won the last three that they needed to. We'll take a break. Get your thoughts right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
as cloudy conditions continue through the day today, we'll head up to about 23 for a high, as winds will stay southerly at 10 to 15. Now, with a chance for a few flurries or snow showers tonight, we'll head down to 11. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, it's 12.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. T&L Center Pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every T&L irrigation system, so to assure many more years of reliable irrigation, schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today. Performing basic maintenance in the off-season will pay you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent T&L dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. T&L irrigation systems, easier on you for a lifetime. Go to TLIRR.com for more information. Back to the Dead Popper inbox. Cardale Jones played three games and has three rings. Is that a record?
I'm starting to get a ring for the Sugar Bowl. Being is that it's just a semifinal game.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, I know you would get a ring for the Sugar Bowl in the old way of doing things. I mean, I knew Alabama would get a ring for the Sugar Bowl, but I was stunned that Ohio State got ring. I mean, heck, I'm all for it, but
two more to catch up to Joe Montana.
There you go. I mean, that, you know, to get back to your point that you left before, I think TCU has zero room for arguing that they deserve the national championship. They were picked sixth, not fifth. They weren't the first team behind. Baylor was behind Ohio State, and Baylor beat TCU on the field. TCU and everybody else can talk about style points, this, that, and the other thing, but at the end of the day, TCU lost to a team, Baylor, on the field. So Baylor was ahead of them at fifth, okay? Baylor did lose their bowl, but they played a better opponent than an overrated SEC West Ole Miss team. TCU, the worst thing that happened for TCU is they got the overrated Ole Miss SEC West team. They needed a better bowl than what they did because Mississippi had already started to lose favor with their losses down the stretch. And so when Mississippi State lost and then Ole Miss and then the whole SEC West big debate started to fall on top of itself, TCU needed a better opponent. Now, I can't off the top of my head think of who that better opponent would have been, but they needed somebody better than a beat-up Ole Miss when the SEC West was so down. And you couldn't have said that earlier, but I think that TCU is 0% of any sort of argument that they deserve to be anywhere near having a national championship.
Wow. Wow. I'll disagree, but not totally, because my angle on this is I don't think Ohio State probably should have been in the Final Four. The problem is now they prove that they belonged, which also to me shows that there were a number of teams that could now state claim to being in that, and I think it's going to be even tougher next year for the committee because they're still going to be looking at the SEC, and you're going to now all of a sudden this guilt trip of anybody that's not in a power conference. And TCU and Baylor are in a power conference, and they didn't get in.
Well, that's the thing about this playoff is there's always going to be one school. No matter what, a minimum of one conference, one Power Five will always not have a representative. So you're going to have to get used to this banter that the best team in one of these Power Fives is always going to be left out with it only being a four-teamer. People talk about it's going to expand, it's going to expand. Listen to the coaches. And that's the thing that you have to do in this situation. Listen to the coaches. Listen to people who are affiliated with the schools, SIDs, associate ADs. Listen to what they're speaking. They're all talking about 14 games. They're all talking about 15 games. They're all talking about how this ended up happening and ending for a lot of schools that are just getting into the second semester now. They're going to have to push back the start date. They're going to have to push a lot of things back if you want to expand it, and I don't think expansion's coming. So this is, I think a lot of those people, the powers that be, enjoy this debate. I think that they would rather have a TCU sitting on the outside talking about how they should have done it than an 8-4 team that's number 8 making a run at it. And I mean, this is no different than the wild card winning it in baseball or a wild card in football making it to the Super Bowl. It's whoever gets hot. I mean, it doesn't just because you win it doesn't mean you're the best team. And that's what people – they're the national champion, but that doesn't mean they're the best team. They played the best.
Will we have dominant teams again?
Oh, no. I think that the parity in the NCAA, and it seems like when a dynasty is built, it's usually ravaged later on by sanctions or wrongdoing of some sort or some nature. So I think the dynasty days, I think the back-to-back titles, I mean, they're talking about Ohio State's going to come back and do it next year and this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know what? What if Braxton Miller goes to Duke and Cardell goes pro? And I know we're speculating, and JT Barrett blows out that ankle again. Well, I mean, it's pretty hard to repeat as is, especially in today's parity-driven, lot more better teams. Everyone's better coached, in my opinion. I think the reason why the Huskers were so good for so long is they out-resourced, they out-facility, and they out-coached a lot of people. That doesn't happen much nowadays. Everybody has those resources. Everybody has those types of coaches. You know, the coaching is better across the board at that level.
This comes from our Twitter address, at ESPN, 1460, 1550. Dave says, if Urban Meyer wasn't the coach, would they have gotten in? That's an interesting question. And the bottom line is 59-0 in the Big Ten championship game got them in. That's what got them in. Right, wrong, which I think is a little wrong, but boy, they did win 59-0. And they just torched a Wisconsin team that was pretty good and ends up 13th in the final rankings here. Yeah, I think they get in. But it's just that they're looked at different. Remember, folks, pointed this out a while back when we got to the Final Four. These four teams were in the top five in the rankings at the beginning of the year. We played a lot of football, and the reason that maybe Ohio State was there is because they started there. They started there, and so that one loss didn't drop them all the way down. You find a team that lost earlier or wasn't as highly ranked, TCU, that's why they got in.
Right, and I think that if Urban Meyer was not the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, they're not even in the Big Ten championship game. So, I mean, we saw what Luke Fickell did when he was the head coach. Now, obviously, he was younger and was under some sanctions, and they're coming off a 6-7 season. Yes, Urban Meyer is definitely the reason why they got into the Final Four, without a doubt. And if you're trying to allude to it from a political standpoint or a clout standpoint, yes, he is a sexier pick. He is a more proven pick than Gary Patterson or Art Bowles from Baylor. But he's the only one who could have gotten the Ohio State Buckeyes to the position of being in the Final Four.
This comes from Nate, who says, I think until the Big 12 gets a championship game, the college football playoff will stay at four teams. Then again, he was sending this on his phone to us, and then it spell checked, so I don't know what the rest of it means. Something about the Big 12 that nobody else has.
I disagree.
If TCU played Baylor in the championship game, but again, remember, they played on the final week. They played on the final week. It wasn't like they were sitting on the sideline. The Big 12 plays the same day as the championship games are going on.
And I don't think it matters that the Big 12 has a championship game or whatnot, because they're not two divisions.
They've played everybody.
Right.
That was supposed to be the point of these championship games, is that there was a pretty good chance that you were not going to have a rematch in the championship. And with the way the SEC schedules now, that you're only going to see some of these teams once every 8 years, which is insane, it's different than the Big 10. When we're going to a 9-game schedule, the SEC still going to stay at that 8-game schedule. There'll be controversy no matter what happens. There's going to be controversy no matter what happens. Michigan State's the third best team in the country.
You could say that.
I'd have voted them three.
Their only two losses were to the two teams playing in the national championship, yeah. And really they
played them.
Michigan State outplayed Oregon in the first half. They just couldn't finish seal the deal type of thing, and so. It is a great debate, but look at it. We are still talking about it vigorously, and people are still giving their opinion 24 hours after this was supposed to all have been settled. And that's what they want. That's what the ESPNs, the Fox Sports One, they all want the discussion. They all want the heat. They all want that. And that's what makes college football. I think that's what makes college football better than most. And obviously, being college football country, you know, there's just such a passion. There's just such an argument about it. I see it because my baseball players are from Colorado and Texas and whatnot. And you hear all these guys jibber jabbering back and forth and about the college teams that they're accustomed to watching on TV. And that's what makes it great in fandom, is to argue with your buddies and to debate with your brother-in-laws and to tell your father-in-law he's a delusional Husker fan and see him think, no, Tommy Armstrong's the best quarterback in the nation.
Well, yeah, and tell the rest of the world that the refs blew the call in the Dallas Green Bay game. Yes, I understand.
I didn't think we were going to get to that discussion today.
Well, but there's no more discussion for me. I've stated my case. I'm right. That's the bottom line. There is no argument. But let's get back.
I don't even have one
football.
For you.
Yeah, there you go. 888-455-ESPN if you'd like to join us. 888-455-3776. Keep firing off those emails and tweets. I don't know. I've got to go back. A three-loss Georgia Tech team ends up eighth in the country. A four-loss Nebraska team is 28th. Nebraska sure didn't get a lot of love. Everybody wants to hate on Nebraska. Look at all these 3-4 loss teams in there, an 8-5 Auburn team. It does mean something to be ranked. And I know Sam McEwen tweeted out that Nebraska's been 24th, 23rd, 22nd, non-ranked, and then 14th one year. It still matters. It still matters.
You're saying that the final rankings matter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think that it's a slight against Nebraska. I think it shows you that there is less attention paid to the back half.
10-3 Memphis is 25th. 9-4 Louisville is 24th. Marshall's 23rd. Utah, 9-4, 21st. USC ends up 20th.
Notre Dame is 27th. Correct?
26th. Then Stanford, yeah. Then Nebraska. But, you know, after you get out of these top 6-7 teams, then I don't have to that's the good thing about it, I'll tell you that. How could you make an 8-team playoff? Because you can't tell me Georgia Tech should have been in any kind of a playoff. Georgia, UCLA, Mississippi State, Arizona State, Wisconsin, Missouri, Clemson, those are the teams down through 15. Those are 8 through 15. 7 on up.
Who was the next 4? It was Baylor, TCU.
Number 1 Ohio State, number 2 Oregon, number 3 TCU, number 4 Alabama, number 5 tied Michigan State and Florida State, and then Baylor was 7th.
And 8 was
Georgia Tech. That's where the line is. The line's after Baylor.
And then 9
is Georgia. And 10 is UCLA.
All individuals that I would
say. All those teams were really bad at one point this year, according to the geniuses.
There's a way simpler way to do it, but then no one wants to do it. Because if you just said, okay, we're going to take the five Power 5 conference champion, right? Each conference, you give us a champion, and then we're gonna go pick a sixth guy from outside of the Power 5. 1 and 2 get a bye, run it just like the NFL.
Hey, just because the national championship game is over doesn't mean that there's not sports to watch, food to eat, beverages to drink. The Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney is there for you. Specials from 2 to 5:30 during their extended happy hour. You get discounts on appetizers, long necks, and draws, all there for you at the Chicken Coop every weekday. Open 7 days a week to take care of your hunger pains. There will be NBA and NHL action tonight. Whenever you're going in, check out the Chicken Coop. Go in for lunch today. Lunch specials are served from 11 to 4 with a great menu, burgers, pizza, and not just your normal bar food. You can get ribs. You can get a nice peppercorn steak, chicken tender hoagie, bone-in, bone-out ribs, or chicken wings, and, of course, a great appetizer menu as well. Stop by the Chicken Coop, and don't forget, if you need a little extra room for your group, the party room is available. Book it today. The Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. Coming up, we're going to catch up with Lance Creech, the boys basketball coach at Hastings. They're kind of on a little bit of a break, just got a one game here in about a 2-week span, and then it's going to get real busy. They're starting to turn that in the right direction. They set it 6-5 on the season and have some good games coming up, so we'll catch up with the coach. As we go to break here, we've got a handful left of the River City Hunting and Fishing passes that have been flying out the door. The River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Mid-America Center going on in Council Bluffs, and a family four-pack worth nearly $40 saves you on entry. If you would like some, call now, and producer Brent will get you hooked up. 888-455-3776, and we'll give you a family four-pack to the River City Hunting and Fishing Expo.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Super Shine Auto Care. We clean the out of your car. It's our 30th anniversary. We've brought back our unlimited wash. For $19.95 a month, you can keep your car super clean with our soft cloth auto wash. We hand scrub the bugs and hand dry your vehicle for that finished touch. Not only that, but you can use our vacuums for free when you wash your vehicle. Also try our auto detailing and Mobile One Lube Express. Look for us online at supershineautocare.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
There's something for every outdoorsman at the 13th Annual River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. January 16th through the 18th at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs, featuring over 100 exhibitors, plus a gun show, RVs, resorts, boats, and much more for kids, live trout fishing, archery, and a Daisy BB gun range. Seminar speakers include walleye fishing expert Ben Garver, fishing Iowa's Great Lakes with Doug Burns, fishing and bear hunting enthusiast Nelson Redekop, and many more. You'll have the chance to view the latest and greatest in boats, all-terrain vehicles, and campers, partnering for the weekend with Camping World, Cabela's, and Bass Pro Shops. Admission is $9 for adults and $3 for children 15 and under. The first 50 paid attendees each day get a prize courtesy of Camping World. Limit one per household. Don't miss the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs, January 16th through the 18th, presented by Potawatomi Chapter of Pheasants for ever.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hastings High basketball coach Lance Creech will be joining us towards the end of the program. We're here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram GMC, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. And don't forget, right now, with two locations and over 550 vehicles to choose from, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac is sure to have the vehicle you are searching for. You can think. Go to thinkmidway.com to start your one-stop shopping experience today. The great part about that is they don't just take a picture of the vehicle on the lot and go, "Oh, there it is." Now you get a full tour. They'll pop the trunk. You'll see about 20 different, 15 different pictures, depending on which vehicle it is, the inside, what it looks like, and what it looks like if you walked out on the lot. That's exactly what you would see, what you see online. Go to thinkmidway.com, and Midway will take care of you. As they continue to expand, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. The Nebraska Baseball Hall of Fame is expanding, and it always seems to have a little bit of a local flavor. And Bob Haydenfeld of Shelton will be put in to the Hall of Fame this year. And the ceremonies are always down at Beatrice, and we're going to talk more about this as things get closer to the event. But it's actually just kind of right around the corner here for the Nebraska Baseball Hall of Fame banquet, and we'll be talking more about that. And I'll take a look at Ellie Gruber of Byron is also going to the event or being enshrined on February the 8th. John Sousa of Omaha, Conrad Corny Collin of Omaha, Ray Johnson out of Grand Island, Joe Bennis out of Omaha, and also being honored, Randy Lukasavich out of Farwell, and Jane White from the Beatrice Daily Sun and Fairbury Journal News. So all of those will be going in, and we've just got the official confirmation on that. Heard about some of the names, including Bobby Benfelt going in. So congratulations to those folks, their families, their communities, and we'll be talking more about that as that rolls up on Sunday, February the 8th, down in Beatrice. This Saturday, UNK baseball coach Damon Day, we're ready to go with the Loper Baseball Banquet.
The 8th Annual Upper Deck Club Banquet is Saturday at the Eunice Hospitality Center, starting at 5:30 p.m. It's the annual fundraiser for the University of Nebraska Kearney and Memorial Field. It's put on by our Upper Deck Club Committee. And basically, my beautiful wife, Jessica Day, is the one who puts it on. So right now, this week, we are, if you see her, give her a big high five or a hug. And so gets a little stressful this time of year for the wife. And it's funny because I'm in total season preparation mode, and she's in total banquet mode. And banquet and prep mode don't always go hand in hand.
Well, because she doesn't like to prep for the banquet at 5 in the morning.
She doesn't know. See, the problem is that I'm getting up for – the thing is I go to bed at 8 p.m. and she's still working. So it's an interesting situation, but please come on out. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal event. We got so many good auction items and live auction items as far as trips and jerseys and baseball memorabilia.
Pull a few out. What do you got?
What do we got this year? We got some golf trips. So we're going to go Prairie Club, Dismal River Golf Club. We got a couple timeshares down in the south, different places that you can choose from. Little Peyton Manning. We were hoping for a W. We were thinking, yeah. But hey, get it while it's hot. Yeah, this could be it.
May never play again.
May never play again. We got a really cool Albert Pujols, and just because of the nature that I am as a person, I got it in a Cardinals uniform. I just could not get a Pujols Angels uniform. So we got an Albert Pujols.
Something that was worth something.
Well, you know, to me, he's just a Cardinal.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we'll look back on that as one of the worst moves he could have made, because I think everyone will look at him as he could be, and he'll still probably have a statue outside Busch Stadium, but I think he really tarnished who he was by making that move. But so we're going to be there. We're going to honor the Team 54's last year's senior class, so they'll get to speak. But that's later on in the evening. We kind of try to take care of the program, all the auctions, and get those done first. And then we're recognizing the state championship team from the 11- and 12-year-old Little League, as well as our representatives of the state for the younger division. So it's truly a celebration of baseball that is a good time. A lot of cool baseball stuff. If you're a baseball fan and into any memorabilia or just kind of cool things that are very baseball specific. Got a Kansas City Alex Gordon package, autographed batting helmet. I really wanted to get the batting helmet because it's a cool looking thing, but everyone's got a bat and a ball. But I was like, you could probably, if you're handy enough, you could probably make a lamp out of it or something cool for your kid's room.
Does it have the pine tar?
What?
Is it an actual?
No, it's not game used.
Okay.
No. No, that would be disgusting and smell. That's what I always said. Someone else asked me, I was like, that would be gross. You know, they play in the summer.
But you got to put it in the class box.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's just a phenomenal event. If you're interested, please contact the baseball office at UNK or we'll get you all the details. And so just very blessed with all the support. Everything's donated. Everything that we get from all the packages and everything is just donated by people who believe in what we're trying to accomplish as a baseball program and the type of young men that we're trying to develop. And it's just such a celebration of these guys, our players' careers. And, you know, so we're saying goodbye to a really special group of seniors. And then it'll be really tough. Every year it's tough because you have a class. But next year's class, this year's senior class, will be a tough one. I've actually been with these guys longer than I've had my little girl. And there's some hometown kids that I am extraordinarily close with and have had a great relationship with. But so we're saying goodbye to a lot of good guys from this year's class, and it'll be a great event.
I had something that was on the tip of the tongue, and it hasn't come back yet. So while I'm thinking of that, details, time Saturday, location Saturday.
Saturday, 5:30 p.m., Eunice Hospitality at the Eunice Center here in Kearney. Dinner, live auction, silent auction. Tickets can be purchased at the door.
5:30 social.
Yes, exactly. 5:30 social, 6:30 dinner. We prefer, you can buy tickets at the door, but please shoot me an email or text or get a hold of us in the office to let us know that you're coming. That way we can prepare for everybody that's going to be there.
I did talk to some of your players. Are you practicing Sunday? This upcoming Sunday?
Yes.
At 5 in the morning?
No.
Okay.
And that is strictly a weather thing.
Well, the Hastings boys basketball team getting a little bit of practice in here with about 2 weeks, only one game. That'll be coming up later this week when they host McCook. Then they're on the road for four straight, albeit one of them is just across town at Adams Central. Lance Creech, head coach of the Hastings High Tigers, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They said it's 6-5 on the season after a win against Lexington this weekend. And, Coach, good morning. How are things down at Hastings High?
Everything's going pretty well so far. How are you?
Doing good. Trying to make it through cold and flu season.
Yes, no doubt. It's starting to creep its way into my voice, that's for sure.
Well, what about the kids? I know we've had a lot of that going on right now, but you're going to get a break here to try and get everybody back on the same page, as you mentioned before we started, dropping a couple in the GNAC, then playing a really good Beatrice team coming right out of that. So you had a three-game losing streak that gets you closer to 500, but I think this probably gives you some time to get ready for the second half of the season.
Well, it does, you know, and I think the biggest thing, you know, as I've told several people, to come out of the moratorium with, you know, a morning practice the day before you play a game, or the day of a game, excuse me, and then you have four total games with two practices, and three of the four games are against top five state-ranked teams, one of which was a Class A, number two Norfolk, the other two being Scotts Bluff and Beatrice, a Class D, so... that was a tough stretch to play. You know, if you play those three games in a season, that would be more than anybody would want to handle, but to, let alone to do it in a very short period of time with very little preparation time or practice was difficult. But, you know, we got through it. We got ourselves emotionally and physically healthy on Saturday, picked up a pretty nice win against a scrappy Lexington bunch. So everything's right in the world again.
Lance Creech, head boys basketball coach at Hastings, joining us here. Coach, we know that the Tigers have not had a run of success for quite some time, and you mentioned it. You look at the losses that you have this year outside of Columbus, which you came back and beat in the GNAC. You got Elkhorn South, throw it in there, and then the three teams that you just mentioned, all top-tier teams. You've beaten a couple of good teams. Are you seeing, even in just your short tenure now with the Tigers, a little turn?
Well, I think so. You know, I mean, and you would hope so anyway. And I think the biggest thing is I think we've got a pretty good bunch from about our sixth grade bunch all the way through to our senior class. Now we've got about three or four kids per class that I think they can help us, you know. And I think slowly but surely you change the culture, you change the climate, you continue to try and impress upon what you want out of your basketball players and developing skills and all those kinds of things. But I think it all comes back to our administration as well. I mean, they've made a very concerted effort with, you know, just little things. And I shouldn't say little because it's a financial burden, but redid our revamped our locker room and remodeled both the boys and the girls' locker rooms at the high school. We've got plans in place for a new weight room, implemented a universal athletic and student body weight program last spring. So, you know, I think we've just got some things that our administration have looked at our activities and our athletics and you know, the importance that they play and kind of something we can hang our hat on as a school culture and a district culture. And I think we've got some things pointed in the right direction right now.
Talking with Lance Creech, Hastings High, you may not have a very deep roster as far as varsity goes. It looks like you like to play six guys for the most part, led by Morgan Karloff. Just tell me about Morgan and what you've seen through these first 11 games.
Well, I think he's done a really good job of developing himself and, you know, from probably more of a shooter a year ago to where he's a pretty tough matchup in regard to just a score. You know, he's about 6'2", 185, 190 pounds, a very good athlete. He was a heck of a wide receiver for our football team and played with that younger Bison team over the summer. So he had an opportunity to play a lot of high-level competition. But the most important thing is, and I knew this would happen with Morgan, is he's a kid that didn't miss any of our high school stuff either. You know, so he wanted to improve himself and his skill set by playing up and playing you know, that summer circuit. But yet he was back on every Sunday and Monday night for our summer league and with our Tiger camp and all those kinds of things. So, you know, he's kind of the engine of our offense, if you would say. But I think we're starting to see a little bit more from our bench play. I think we're starting to get some more kids incorporated. You know, and after 10 or 12 games, you're starting to really develop a little bit more depth, which I think if we're going to have any success in the postseason, you got to have more than six kids that can play. And right now we're pushing the seven, maybe even eight kids on any given night. So I feel comfortable with the improvement in direction, if you will, of our bench play right now.
Lance, your team actually shoots the ball pretty good from just about every facet. I don't know, coach is going to be too crazy because they can always do a little bit better, but the guys do shoot the ball well, but yet you can score 40 points and you can score darn near 70 points. What's been the difference on shot selection, teams that you're playing? What's been giving you trouble, and when do you shoot the ball maybe a little bit better than other times?
Well, the biggest thing that we've tried to, you know, impress upon a year ago, we were just kind of shoot it before you turn it over kind of concept. And this year we're a little bit more selective with our shots. We want to make sure that people like Morgan and Vinny Schmidt, Addison Bielau, those three primarily, at least get an offensive touch before we get a shot up. Not that we're not open to, you know, somebody taking a good, clean, wide-open shot early in a possession, but you know, we've got a little bit more depth in regard to, you know, fewer or more players that can score in the double digits in regard to points. And I think it's important that, you know, we kind of start to develop a mindset and a culture of toughness in every offensive possession, to where we're getting paint touches, our post players are getting touches, we're getting penetration, we're getting cutters, you know, just getting higher percentage shots. It's not rocket science that the closer you are to the basket, the better opportunity you have to score it, which also gives you the ability to get fouled and do some things like that as well. So shot selection has been much better, and I think the biggest thing for us is when we value the basketball, you know, in all of our losses that we look at, we've had 20-plus turnovers in every single one of our losses. So that's been the biggest thing when teams get at us and we don't value the ball or we don't take care of the ball and we're not tough with the ball, we're going to struggle to win. And I think that's kind of universal. That's going to go with about any team across the board.
Lance Creech, head coach at Hastings High, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for another minute. As we mentioned, you've got McCook coming into your gym on Friday, then only a couple of more home games the rest of the way. You're going to get, as we see lately, unless you're in that Elkhorn metro area, a lot of 500 Class B teams around here, and you've got a lot of those left on your schedule. But Northwest Gothenburg, Adams Central, a couple of teams that are in your district on the road in the next 2 weeks. Talk about how important this stretch is.
Well, I think it's huge because the road is a tough place to win, you know, and every time you see scores, every Friday or Saturday, when you look them up on the website, it's usually the home team winning, no matter what level. So it's very difficult in a high school environment to go on the road and get a win because the home crowd plays such a big factor, and you know, you're more comfortable, and that just kind of goes without saying as well. But the stretch that we have coming up, luckily, are not huge road games in regard to distance. You know, we're traveling across town to Adams Central. We're running up the highway to Grand Island Northwest. We do have to take a pretty good skip out to Gothenburg, but at the same time, these are all winnable games. And I guess, you know, if you talk to all the coaches involved, we'd all probably agree that they're probably 50-50 games. And, you know, at the end of the season, when you look back at your year and you kind of evaluate yourself on whether it was a successful or an unsuccessful year, it's typically the 50-50 games, how many of those you can come out on the upper end, because the Elkhorn South, the Beatrice, you know, those people of the world, those are going to be very tough games for almost anybody to win. So right now we've just got a good stretch of games that we believe are winnable, and if we continue to take care of business and improve and get better on a daily basis, I think we have a pretty good opportunity to come out of this stretch with our head above water.
And Lance, I know I think I've asked you this maybe once or twice in the transition here, and you've done very well with the coach speak so far on the show today. So I know that's one thing that you can carry over from college times. But how much of the college coaching can you use back at the high school? How have you noticed that here over a couple of years?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes when you're talking strategy, sometimes you just don't have the ability to do some of the strategies that you're used to. But the biggest thing that I've tried to impress upon our players, and we've had, you know, I'm very fortunate to have the staff that we have and those kinds of things, but it's just the expectations, you know, and what you expect from yourself on a daily basis. And those regard, no matter what level that you coach at or you play at, individual and collective responsibility are the utmost importance. And I think all of the other details that go into preparing on a daily basis, those have not changed. Size, you know, maybe overall speed, athleticism, sometimes in given positions you just don't have maybe what you're used to. But, you know, it's still basketball. It's still an opportunity to get in the gym and compete and get better on a daily basis. So I've been very blessed, I think, just to have the opportunity to continue to do something that I love to do. And I think our players are getting better every day. And this is probably the most fun. This team is the most fun I've had coaching for quite a long time. So I really like coming to work every day with these kids.
Lance Creech, he's got one of the book off Lexington. They beat McCook. They call it a streak. We'll see if they can get another winning streak going here. And, Coach, always great to chat with you. Keep up the great work.
All right, buddy. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Lance Creech joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, getting ready for their game with McCook on Friday night. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Leadership broadcast booth. One question to ponder during the break, getting back to the national championship. Cordell Jones has said this morning he's not made his decision, the starting quarterback for Ohio State last night, but he says he doesn't feel he's ready for the NFL, so we've talked about that. Second thing, there's three quarterbacks. I kind of have to figure two of them will stay. Maybe not. But if you were an Ohio State fan or just a college football fan in general, which two would you want to see stay? Miller, Barrett, Jones. Which two of those three would you want to see stay? And finally, I'll bring it up again. Husker fan, what does it say about you when Urban Meyer has tabbed Tim Beck to run the national championship offense? You didn't like him at Nebraska. What does it say now when the national champion, three-time national champion head coach, takes Nebraska's offensive coordinator to be quarterback coach who's going to be involved with all this and co-offensive coordinator? What are you thinking now? We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
January 10th through the 17th, you can get what you really wanted for Christmas. A new-to-you boat from Buzz's Marine. Lots of great used boats are on display during Buzz's 35th annual used boat show, including deck boats, pontoons, sport boats, and fishing boats. You can even shop inside where it's warm. So stop in between the 10th and the 17th of January, and you will be amazed at the high-quality used boats available. View the entire inventory online at buzzesmarine.com or stop by Buzz's Marine at 507 Central Avenue in Kearney.
Please hold. Your call will be answered when the line is...
Sick of being just another number? At your local one-stop shop for all your insurance needs, the Kroll Agency can provide you with product variety and personalized claim service, all while calling you by name. Their most important concern is you. As an independent insurance agent, they're proud to offer worry-free insurance written through IMT and Wadita Insurance Companies, members of the IMT Group. Together, the Kroll Agency promises to provide you with the comfortable peace of mind that you deserve. Contact the Kroll Agency for your worry-free quote today.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Yeah. Doug and Addy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Put the bow on this Tuesday edition. Tomorrow, former Husker and the next inductee from Nebraska into the College Football Hall of Fame, Trev Alberts, will join us live here on the Doug and Addy Show tomorrow. We'll also be talking with UNK basketball coach on the men's side, Kevin Lofton, as they get ready for a four-game homestand. Those are among our guests tomorrow, Trev Alberts, Kevin Lofton, and we'll have that for you tomorrow on the Doug and Addy Show. All right, Damon, which two, if you could pick, which two would you want at Ohio State next year?
JT Barrett and Braxton Miller.
I think Braxton Miller is in the most unique situation because he's only got a year left.
Yep.
No matter what he does. And the backups have shown that they've got the ability, and Cardale Jones can leave whenever he wants. JT Barrett, I think, is the only one that is a for sure returner here. My gut tells me that Braxton looks for somewhere else, but do you want to do that? You're kind of legacy at Ohio State. You've been there all these years. Don't you want to just finish it out, whatever
it is? Look what it did for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's not a draftable quarterback out of North Carolina State. Goes to Wisconsin.
Yeah, but those were different circumstances.
But similar. I mean, granted, they want North Carolina State wanted to move along a little bit without Russell Wilson being the quarterback.
And, you can't beat out Harrison Peck. I mean,
but does Urban Meyer want to say, I'm going to, you know, and that's going to be interesting. And it'll be very interesting to see how Urban Meyer handles this all. Because it'll show he's got some salesmen in him if he can keep all three. If he can keep all three happy, or at least coming back. And I think that's where you're going to get Braxton Miller is going to leave. Braxton Miller's only got 1 year left to show people that he can do some things. But it did interest me. There's been three things that he has said that have been very interesting. I'm going to wait and see. I have to worry about my health. And once I get healthy, then I'll see where my shoulder's at. That tells me that things aren't as going as greatly as he was hoping to be able to be by this far into the process. And maybe that'll tell some. So, I'm interested in not talking about Braxton Miller going to the NFL draft. I mean, obviously, he's probably not. You probably talk with advisors and do those types of things, but he's just as eligible to go to the draft as Cardale Jones.
Your Urban Meyer, all three come into spring ball completely 100% healthy and at their best. Who's your starter?
I don't know.
See, I go with the youth. I go Barrett.
Yeah,
because
of
the one. It's not fair and it's not right because Braxton Miller didn't do anything to lose his job. But you're looking at the totality of this whole deal. You're going to get a couple more years out of the younger guy whose level is just as good as the other two or better.
Yeah, I think in the next week, Braxton Miller will be making the decision to leave.
Nebraska basketball may get a shot here at Wisconsin. I think they'll probably rally the troops. As I said yesterday, I think Frank Kaminsky will be back off that concussion. You just never know. If he's not, then it's more serious, and it will be a long-term deal just by going what happens in athletics with these concussions. But their point guard, Trayvon Jackson, did fracture his foot against Rutgers. He'll have surgery Thursday, be out up to 6 weeks, and that means maybe he gets back in time for the Big Ten Conference Tournament. The latest high school girls basketball rankings out from the Omaha World Herald. Not a ton of changes. Class A, Omaha Benson's number one. Kearney's 10th. And Kearney plays, I'll give you the whole schedule in a minute. Class B, Lincoln Pius the 10th is number one. Holdridge 7th. In C1, Kearney Catholic and Minden are 1-2. Central City 8th. Crofton's number one in C2. Hastings St. Cecilia 3rd. Sutton 7th. Dundee County Stratton's number one in D1. You've got Fullerton 4th. Bruning Davenport Shickley 6th. South Loop 10th. And in D2, Giltner is number one.
this week. The new number one, Hampton 6th, Silver Lake 8th, Exeter Milligan 9th, Lawrence Nelson 10th. We've got three high school doubleheaders on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Kiltner, Kennesaw, The Breeze 94.5, Ravenna at Minden, Classic Hits 98.9, St. Cecilia hosting Grand Island Northwest on 1230 AM KHAS. Also tonight, the Kearney High girls will host Fremont. Kearney Catholic will host Lexington, a doubleheader. York is at Grand Island Central Catholic among the Tri-City schools. B and C high school wrestling rankings updated again. Not much change. Omaha Scott's going to remain number one in B. Grand Island Northwest is sixth. David City number one in C. And Central City sets in seventh place going into this week. And the USHL NHL top prospects game tonight in Dubuque, Iowa. Three members of the Tri-City Storm, Matt Freitag, Chris Wilkie, and Tori Dello, will be competing. And here's something, Damon, to wrap the show up that I know will please you. Because if you go to the Prairie Club, every once in a while you get an email sometimes. Because why do I got to fill out this card? Because they like to send out a mailer. Yep. Both the Dunes and the Pines courses up there have made the list of the 100 greatest public golf courses in their first year of eligibility from Golf Digest. Golf Digest, 100 greatest public courses, and the Pines and the Dunes, 35th and 75th.
Which one was 35th?
The Dunes is 35th. The Pines is 75th.
Which one do you like better?
I like the Pines. I've shot the same basic score both times that I've played on both of those. I don't know why. It's got more trees. That should be hell for me. I don't know. I guess I like it. They're both great.
Oh, they're both awesome, but I love the Pines.
Last thoughts before we get out of here.
Oh, my wife texted me and let me know that I have the banquet information wrong.
Yes.
Doors open at 4:45 p.m., not 5:30, so get there early. Dinner and program starts at 6.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Go to Lopers.com after 1 p.m. today, and it'll be on there.
All that good stuff. All right, you got it taken care of. And again, it's where?
At the Eunice Conference Center on Saturday, January the 17th, starting at 4:45 p.m., doors open. Dinner's at 6, followed by the program and auction from there. Auction, then program.
All right, buddy. I will see you Saturday, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, we want to thank David Day, as always, for sliding in on Tuesday's co-host, Hastings High basketball coach Lance Creech, for giving us some time. Appreciate all the tweets and emails that you have sent us talking about last night's national championship game. And tomorrow, a guy that knows a thing or two about national championship games, one of the newest members of the College Football Hall of Fame, Trev Alberts, will join us, as well as UNK co-ed men's basketball.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Basketball coach Kevin Lofton. We'll see you.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.
And Doug Duda saying have a great Tuesday.